Well, hi there, everyone. Great to have you with us again today for the next in our podcast series, Habitat, where hopefully by now you know we're trying to sort of lift the bonnet, really, of our lives and look into some of the mechanics of how we're living, those things which are just part and parcel of our lives, rituals, routines, and asking God what are the habits that can really help us to form a life in which God can dwell. That's the kind of the mutual meaning of the word habitat, isn't it? The habits that are there and the dwelling that they form. And I'm really thrilled today to be joined by Andy Glover. Andy is with Fresh Streams and has called the different sort of regions of the Baptist Associations together in this season for a day of prayer and fasting. I thought it'd be great to talk to him about that. So Andy, thank you so much for joining our podcast today.
No, thank you, Jonathan. It's a pleasure just to spend a bit of time with you, actually. So thank you.
No, thank you so much. So do you want to say a little bit about Fresh Streams for those in the church that haven't perhaps heard that phrase?
Yeah. So I'm a Baptist minister based up in Chester. I lead a church there called Hool Baptist Church. And that's sort of my day job. But the church has a real heart to be a resource, sort of center type church. So they released me to work a day a week for Fresh Streams. And Fresh Streams is a national network of church leaders, predominantly within the Baptist Union of Great Britain, Baptist Together, where we seek to bring sort of courage and resources and companionship for church leaders who are seeking to sort of press into what it means to be a word and spirit network, where we've got an equal emphasis on the importance of scripture, building our lives on the scriptures and what the Bible says, but also that sort of work of the spirit. How does the Holy Spirit empower us and equip us? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I have the privilege of leading that network, and we run a national conference every January. Gather about 300 leaders. Again, like I say, probably 95% are from Baptist Union of Great Britain Baptist churches. And then prayer and fasting days, we do a theology school actually in 2024. We've got a theology school coming up in June looking at ecclesiology and how and why do we do what we do as Baptist churches. What's important to us in terms of how we do church?
Fantastic. So you dropped into the middle of that, this idea of prayer and fasting days. Could you perhaps explain a little bit about what fasting is?
Yeah, I think, you know, if you go back to, again, let's go back to the scriptures, let's go back to Jesus. It seems to be that when you read the Gospels, you know, Matthew's Gospel, Matthew 6 is a great place to start, isn't it? Where Jesus makes that statement, whenever you fast, don't be gloomy like the hypocrites. And it seems like when Jesus talks about fasting, it's not if you fast, it's when you fast. And he talks about when the bridegroom's gone and this idea of fasting. So it's one of those habits, I think, that we sort of dig into, where, you know, I know from what you've just told me that within our spiritual formation as Christians, as disciples, followers of Jesus, there's certain habits I think we can invest in, train ourselves in, that will help us in that sort of growth and transformation that we're looking for, where we see the work of God in and through our lives. So fasting, I think it's something that Jesus calls us to. I think it's something that particularly within the sort of Western world, we've perhaps not done as much as we should. It's not a habit. In some of my reading, if I think it was John Wesley encouraged people to fast at least twice a week, I think.
Wow.
In terms of the Methodist revival, and you see that particularly when if you study revival, and I know I'm speaking into a Welsh church context where revival is very much in the heritage and heart of people, isn't it? I think if you dig deep, you'll find fasting being part of that preparation for seeing God move in our lives and through our lives.
And typically when we think of fasting, I mean, it means going without something, doesn't it? And classically people will go without food. And I guess that's a, it's a desire, isn't it, to create space in our lives, to create time, but to do something physically that demonstrates a sort of a spiritual hunger. It's a, it's putting a practical action onto it, is it, as well, isn't it?
It is. I think, you know, I sometimes talk about this with my own church, that in the process of discipleship and making disciples, we can, if we're not careful, we can categorize ordinary Christians with what I call the SAS Christians. And it's like the, it, you know, something like fasting, that's like for the SAS Christians. You know, it's those who are I don't know, the most spiritual, the most committed. But it feels to me that there are these habits that if we just start to think about it, we can invest into our everyday lives. And you know, again, if you say fast to people, generally they think about going without food. You know, it's interesting, isn't it? Right now, there's a lot around health and intermittent fasting a way of just being healthy. So, you know, we see the benefits in a health way. And there's no doubt, actually, that it does help your health. I'll tell you a funny story, because and I guess one of the difficulties with fasting is, if you go to the Matthew 6 passage, it talks about doing things in secret and not looking like you're fasting. It's, you know, sometimes in Jesus' day, you know, people would walk around with gloomy faces and they, you know, but so it's a bit of a thing you do in secret. So it's, on one sense, it's quite hard to talk about fasting because it's supposed to be in secret.
Yeah.
But there was a season in my life where I was really committed to fasting on a regular basis. And it was in the context of some health issues that were going on in my wife, Sue, in her life. And for 6 months, I had a regular pattern of fasting either 1 day a week, 2 days a week, or 3 days a week. And after 6 months, I had a load of people come up to me and say, "Andy, you've lost loads of weight. What are you doing to lose your weight?" And it was one of those moments of like, well, actually. So there is an aspect of fasting where it is about going without food. I think the principle really is about starving those things that stop us from experiencing God's presence. So food, yes, you know, I think, gosh, you know, we're all slaves to food a little bit in the Western world, aren't we? You know, we have fast food. You can you can get food relatively easy in all sorts of ways. So food, but I think more and more actually, when people talk about fasting, they talk about fasting from social media. You know, those times where you're sort of, you know, social media scrolling, just wasting time scrolling through your Instagram or your Reels or whatever it might be. So I think, yeah, fasting is starving ourselves from those things that stop us and saying, actually, I'm going to give some time, which I would normally give to eating or being on social media or Netflix, again, the accessibility of something like that.
Yeah.
And so now I'll use that time. And that's the thing, I think fasting is great, but it seems to me that fasting is always associated with prayer. So actually, it's not just the fasting per se, it's fasting with prayer.
Yes.
And so using the time that you recycle and redeem because you're not eating or preparing to eat. That would be one of the things that, going back to the sort of creating space in our lives to hear God by removing things that give us immediate satisfaction. Is part of fasting.
Yeah. I loved your phrase about starving ourselves of the things that stop us experiencing the presence of God. Because I guess of all the different habits, I think it's Dallas Willard kind of separates off the spiritual practices into two areas. And there's practices of engagement, which would be like studying the word and praying. And then there's practices of absence, so things that we stop doing, like solitude would be that, and still and fasting. And sometimes it can be seen as almost like a sort of a prayerful hunger strike. You know, I'm going to show God serious I am by fasting. But thinking of it on a more personal level, that actually it's helping us. It's not doing anything to God. but it's helping create space in us is really positive.
It is, and I think you touch on something quite interesting there, isn't it? That actually, fasting isn't about doing something that will convince God more.
Yeah.
The hunger strike mentality is like, oh, you know.
Yeah.
In a sense, it's an offering back to God of saying, I'm creating space.
Mm.
Yeah, maybe there is that sense of heart attitude to say, I'm going to take this serious. You know, I think in my own life, I can think about moments where I have been praying for breakthrough moments, whether that's in a health situation or in a ministry situation where I need a breakthrough.
Yeah.
Fasting and prayer has added that in.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, but I think it's very important not to have that mentality that, you know, we're sort of twisting God's arm by saying, hey, look at me, God, I'm really serious. I'm fasting now.
Yeah.
You've got to answer this prayer. I think God's always looking at the inside of our lives and sort of shaping us and renewing us.
Mm.
And yeah, fasting can be part of that renewing more, you know, much more than even fasting for the sake of seeing some answered prayer.
Yes. Yeah. I love that thing about the space it creates. To pick up on something you said earlier about the sort of the SAS Christians. Sadly, sometimes we sort of categorize, don't we, the sort of the super spiritual, and then I don't know, the spiritual, maybe the sub spiritual, and sometimes we can not engage in something because we don't want to be like this sort of holier than thou or whatever it is that we're worried about. And I wonder if, because you mentioned rightly that fasting doesn't get practiced often in the sort of the modern church, if there's a worry that if we do that, we might be seen as being austere or, you know, trying to prove something. And there might be other habits that fall into that as well, that we don't engage with because we don't want to be part of that. You know, it's been interesting talking to people in this podcast series about their habits and how a lot of people seemingly have gone back into some ancient Christian sort of practices and revived them in a personal way.
Found
a real life in that, definitely.
Yeah, and I think fasting, you know, is one of those habits that I think is being explored more and talked about more. It, you know, again, I was fascinated in January. We as a church had a month of prayer. And into that month of prayer, we introduced opportunities for fasting where people could take a day or miss a meal or not watch TV one evening, wherever it was.
And
it was interesting for me on social media, just following a number of churches and friends who are leading churches, how many churches were doing the same thing, you know, whether that was a 21 day prayer and fasting focus or a month focus or a 7 day focus. So I think you're right. I think there is something, I guess somebody like John Mark Comer, for example, who is becoming quite a prolific writer and thinker, isn't he, about the way of Jesus and some of the work that he's been doing.
Yes.
Just sort of repackaged, in one sense, some of those spiritual disciplines, you know, the pursuit of, but the Unhurried Life book, I can't really think of the title now, but that was almost, that for me, when I read it, it sort of repackaged some of those spiritual disciplines. And I guess I'm old enough and I've been a Christian long enough to remember, I guess in the 80s, I became a Christian in the 80s. And my experience was very quickly, those habits were encouraged in my life. Things like, you know, having a regular quiet time, for example, that language. And then I went to a Bible college. I went to a Bible college called Birmingham Bible Institute, which was founded on the vision for revival. A guy called Brash Bonsall was the principal, and then the vice principal was a guy called Bob Dunnett. And we would have college days of prayer and fasting. So the whole college would be encouraged, you know, unless you've got health reasons. There are some very valid reasons. And again, you know, if you're going to start fasting, you need to just take some time to work out how you start the process. So we can talk a little bit about getting into that in a minute or two. But we as a college, once a term, would have a 3-day season of prayer and fasting. And so that was something I embraced straight away. And and but you did it in a community. So again, there was something about doing it with others.
Yes. Yeah.
And there's a dynamic there of fasting in secret. Nobody knows you're fasting.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then fasting as a community.
Yeah.
And being in this together and then gathering at moments. So, you know, back in the day when I was at college, we used to eat all together in our Bible college.
Yeah.
So obviously we didn't have meals, but those times we would meet and pray.
Yeah.
Again, a funny story was that one of the first times we did it, we'd had 3 days of prayer and fasting, and quite a lot of us had gone for the full 3 days. It was probably one of the first times that I'd done a 3-day fast. And somebody had the bright idea of ending the fast with fish and chips, which I would not recommend. When you've not eaten for 3 days, to then have fish and chips was not the best idea. The following day, there was a few folks unwell with dodgy stomachs. Let's just put it that way. And again, you know, when you think about fasting, the practicalities of fasting is important.
Mm.
You know, particularly think about food. You know, it's quite, you know, it's something different. Fasting from food, fasting from liquids. Mm. You know, Jesus, when he did his 40-day fast, it seems to indicate that that was a supernatural fast, because he, although I think he would have drunk water. He wasn't. He didn't fast from food and water.
Mm,
mm. I think it's impossible to fast for 40 days without water.
Mm.
So again, you've just, you know, sometimes you have to just sit down and think through. When I fast, I always drink.
Mm,
mm. For me, it doesn't matter so much about whether I drink tea or coffee or just soft drinks. Sometimes I have to be a bit careful, because I drink a lot of coffee. So if I do fast and I stop tea and coffee, I usually wind up getting a bit of a headache just because of the caffeine withdrawal.
Yeah.
So I tend to, but some people will fast from tea and coffee. And you know, it's those things that you just actually feel like, I'm getting a bit dependent on this. Let me make a bit of space to realize that actually, I think Paul talks about, doesn't he, in that sort of discipline of an athlete, how you discipline your body, almost beat your body, and tell your body who's in control here. And that's very anti-Western, isn't it, and consumer.
Yeah, it is.
In terms of who's in charge, me or my body.
Yeah.
The craving for food.
It's incredibly countercultural. Yeah, definitely.
And you do have to sort of apply yourself into that moment, and build a habit. That's the thing, isn't it? It's building habits. So I certainly wouldn't recommend anybody jumping into a 3-day fast or a 7-day fast or a 21-day fast as their first experience of fasting. Why not just miss a meal? You know, let's fast lunch.
If
you've never fasted before, so have your breakfast.
Yeah.
But when you would have had lunch, take a bit of time to pray, read the Bible, you know. Or the way I tend to fast is I will have an evening meal. We tend to eat a bit later at the weekend, so I'll have an evening or even about 7:30, 6, 7 o'clock. We tend to eat.
Mm.
That's I'd eat, and then I'd fast then for 24 hours till the following evening,
and
then eat it, and then break the fast with an evening meal. So it's a slightly, you know, in a sense, you're not going through a full day without fasting, which again, you know, I have done that, where you miss breakfast, lunch and the evening meal of one day.
Yes. Yeah.
And then you break the fast. And obviously that's where you get the word breakfast from, don't you?
Break the
fast.
Yeah.
So, you know, people can break the fast with a breakfast,
but
you work it out as to what fits your rhythm, your way of life. And I think fasting from food is something that I would encourage people to experience. I think fasting from social media, TV is good as well. And particularly if you've got health reasons and you've got to be sensible and you can't fast.
Yeah.
You do have to eat. Then maybe try and fast from Netflix or social media or wherever it might be. It's just creating that space, isn't it, in your life where you're removing something. And maybe feeling a little bit uncomfortable, but actually you're pressing in then to, this is important to me to have time with God,
yeah,
and to make that space.
That's really helpful, Andy. You mentioned sort of two different aspects of fasting. One, the sort of the habit of it, so just trying to build it into some sort of yearly, 6 monthly, even weekly pattern, whatever seems to land and work. But then you also mentioned specific times when you were asked for something, whether it was some of your wife's health issues or a breakthrough in a certain area. Perhaps you could share with us how the fasting sort of helped in those times and what it brought to your prayer.
So just for me personally, fasting has always been a part of one of my habits. I think it goes back to that time when I was at Bible college, and also I've always had a passion and a heart for revival, to see that outpouring of God's Spirit. So in different seasons of my life, I've used fasting, engaged in fasting. So the habit, I now have a habit of fasting once a week for 24 hours. So I do that every week. Actually, do it on a Monday. So today is one of my is my fast day. And so that's a pattern I just do it as a habit. And into that day, I try and create space to pray. But sometimes I don't, and sometimes life is busy and work and ministry just is what it is. So, but it's just a habit then where I'm saying to myself, actually, I'm just going to starve myself. If I'm going to, again, just take some time to sort of discipline my body with the fact that I'm not going to eat during the day. So that for me is the habit of just building that in. Like I said, like I said earlier, John Wesley, I think, encouraged the early Methodists to fast twice a week. I think they had a Tuesday and a Friday, I think, if I remember rightly, from some of my readings around those early years of Methodism. So that sort of just a habit of, in the same way that, we'd encourage people to have the habit of reading your Bible on a regularly read it. It's not that every time you read the Bible, God's gonna, you're gonna get that wow moment of God speaking to you. But you're just in the habit, aren't you, of being in the scriptures, reading. So there's a habit, I think, that is just part of it. But then there are those seasons, I think, where we're sort of feeling a call and a pull to press in or break through. And so into those moments, we have those moments either as a church, have a corporate. I think the Daniel fast from Daniel's life is a great model, because Daniel has the Daniel what's called the Daniel fast. So that is a fast where basically you cut out all your meat. Generally, I think it is, and you just eat vegetables. So for 21 days you're still eating, but you're perhaps deciding to sort of match it to the Daniel approach to that. And 21 days, I think, from the Daniel fast is a number that a number of churches will use for a 21-day season of prayer. That can be at the beginning of a year, or at different points throughout the year, to sort of fast. And I haven't personally ever got that far. But I do know of some friends of mine who've committed to 40-day fasts, and I think there's a number of, I think it was, I don't know if you know the name Arthur Wallace, if that name rings a bell. He's a quite a he was a church leader in the sort of 70s and 80s. Came out of the New Church stream. He wrote a book on fasting, and there's a number of books out there that help you build up the pattern and prepare for building your habit of fasting. So start with a meal, or start, then move to a day. Maybe then think about 48 hours, then maybe go for 3 days fasting, and then maybe even build that up to a 7-day fast. Again, I think you have to build your body, build yourself up to that, not just jump into that. And again, you've always got to be careful. You've got to make sure medically, you're not doing anything too silly. God, and God understands that. That's where you've got to just be sensible. But I have had seasons where yeah, I've had 3-day fasts, 7-day fasts, 10-day fasts. And those have been particular moments of looking for breakthrough moments, personally, in my family life, and sometimes in the life of the church.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, and I have been challenged by getting to know friends who come from more of the black majority church world, where particularly some of the I've got friends who lead the RCCG church in Chester, and I was actually listening to a talk just last week from the senior pastor of the of Jesus House, Pastor Adu, is it? I think it is. And he said, interestingly, he said that he did not believe that we would see the revival we're praying for in the UK until the UK church started to get into the habit and practice of fast, adding fasting to their prayers.
Wow.
It was quite a powerful statement. And he was very honest about, you know, that church denomination stream add fasting into their, you know, similar to the one in Chester. They're fasting, it seems to me, a lot at the time.
Wow. Wow.
But he said that, you know, he loves his food. Ask his wife. It's not like he's anything more special, you know.
Yeah.
And it's a bit of a discipline. And I guess that's the side, isn't it? That is hard work.
Yes.
And I think sometimes, particularly with fasting, but with any of the disciplines, it's that understanding, isn't it, that we're training ourselves.
Yes.
So it's not like we're trying harder to convince God to do something he doesn't want to do.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
It's training ourselves in these spiritual formations, habits that build into us this pattern of life. That actually, when we get to those moments of ministry and breakthrough, we've got this reservoir behind us where we've invested the time and the prayer and the space. So yeah, I think it is John Montgomery talks a lot about the training analogy. And Paul, doesn't he? I think to Timothy, talks a lot about training.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so that for me is part of the overall understanding of why we need these habits. And the truth is, and again, John Mark Comer picks up this really strong. We're being formed all the time.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And I think sometimes we think we're not.
Yeah.
I think we're in control, but actually, there is formation going on all the time with the way that the world is.
Yeah.
And therefore we need to invest some of our time into the spiritual formation stuff.
Yes.
Building habits.
Yeah.
Individual habits, but also community habits as well. Yeah. What you're doing as a church on a regular basis. And yeah, it's great to hear, you know, like, what you guys are doing, is it just taking some time to revisit these habits? Because I think, yeah, sometimes they've got a bit out of fashion.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes the freedom, we talk a lot about freedom and spontaneity, particularly in the Word and Spirit charismatic world. But actually, I think underneath some of that needs to be the sort of discipline, practice, habit forming stuff. That is just hard work at times.
Making
good choices. Particularly, you know, I've got it even here right in front of me, you know, this advice. I'm sure you've talked about it in your teaching series, just the power of that device now to control life is huge. And I personally have to work really hard. I love my mobile phone. I love social media. I love the keeping in contact with people, but you've just sometimes just got to put it down.
Yes.
And that's part of the fasting, isn't it? Let's just not do social media for a day.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just a real challenge, let's be honest.
Yeah. And I guess part of the challenge of doing that is being open to, when you're not doing it, missing what you're really missing it for. And if it's I need to be in control, or I need to stay connected, or I need to feel important because people are contacting me, and all those kind of things. All of that is exposed by the laying of it down.
Definitely.
Same with our relationship with food as well.
I think, you know, I know in my life when I'm feeling a bit over pressurized, under stress, evenings, you know, you get in, it can be a glass of wine, it can be a bottle of beer, it can be a late night binge on a whole packet of biscuits or whatever it is. And sometimes just to take stock and say, oh, actually, I need to be aware who's in control here. What's going on? Can I stay stuck? And I guess that gets into the whole thing of how habits and addictions build in our lives. And you know, we have the grace of God and we have the Spirit of God working through us. But the other thing I would say with all of these things is, you know, if you commit and say, right, I'm gonna try and do, you know, I'm gonna try and complete a 24-hour fast. You know, I feel like I've never done it before. So I'm gonna do it. And the goal here is to finish it. In some senses, it's okay if maybe you haven't created the space. It's just do the fast. Just do 24 hours of not eating any food. Make sure you drink regularly.
Keep the
liquid intake up.
Yeah.
But even if you get to sort of 16 hours and then you're like, I can't carry on, I need to eat something. Don't beat yourself up over that.
Yeah.
You know, you've done 16 hours.
Yeah.
So then build it up. So, you know, so know the grace of God. That's the key, isn't it? So,
but
it's in all these things, it's getting the right balance. Don't go, you know, we can believe too much in the grace of God that we think, well, we don't need to do anything that disciplines us because it's for freedom that Christ has set me free.
Yeah.
At the other end. Yeah. And I guess with fasting, it can be that we tend to have in our mind the other end.
This sort
of picture of the, you know, the holy monk starving himself on a piece of bread because he's, you know, he's holier than thou type of person. And, you know, most of the time, people don't know I'm fasting because I take that seriously. You know, you don't go around with a gloomy face and, you know, and dressed in a way that people think, oh, what's going on with Andy today? He's looking a bit intense. Most people don't know. Only when, you know, like even today we always stop for lunch in our office space. I work in an office space at HBC. We've got a staff team. And so we always try and stop for at least half an hour every day for lunch. And it's only in that moment where we all get together and have lunch and I'm sat there with my cup of tea. People are like, are you not eating, Andy? And then nowadays they tend to say, oh, it's Monday, isn't it? So those are the habits that you build with yourself and with others.
Well, Andy, it's been so great to talk. Thank you so much for sharing out of your own experience and some really helpful, positive ways of viewing fasting. So thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.